Good morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And we're going to consider a passage this morning, very familiar, about two men who were on the road to a city called Emmaus. It was the third day after the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified, being the day that he was to rise from the dead. While these two were on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus Christ came to them and began to question them concerning things that they were talking about. They related to him some doubts, some fears that they had concerning this Jesus of Nazareth, whom they believed to be the Messiah. He told them in the 25th verse of that 24th chapter, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken! Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And the scripture says that he came and abode with them for a few moments, speaking unto them concerning himself, starting at Moses, which is Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. It came to pass in the 30th verse, as he set at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, brake it, and gave it to them. And the scripture says that their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And this was the summation of their visit with him. They said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Wonderfully blessed is the heart made to burn with affection toward Christ when it hears of those things concerning himself, his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, which are all found recorded in the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Listen to David in Psalm 39:3, "My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. The thoughts of him, fanned by the Spirit of God, kindle the passions of a new heart." What contrast this is to the carnal heart that's cold and indifferent, frigid with evil thoughts of self-righteousness. Often this is the way the believer sees himself, cold and indifferent toward the God of his hope. But by inspiration, the Spirit of God within the Scripture reveals that spark of life within the new man as being a fire that must and shall burst forth. Jeremiah had resolved within himself that because of the contempt and the disgrace upon the God that he loved and preached, because of the dishonor shown him through unbelief, it would be better to be silent and not mention that holy name, that message of life, seeing it met with such disrespect. But in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, he says, "His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." It must have vent. It could not be quenched. Woe it would be if he didn't preach the gospel. The glory of God here manifest. The souls of men are at stake. Necessity is laid upon him. Listen to the speech of life as these two men heard the words of Christ as he opened the scriptures. "Our heart burned as he opened unto us." As he removed that veil that blinded their carnal eyes to see the true message of Scripture, the glory of God in the salvation of his elect. Even now the Lord opens the heart of his people, same way he did these two, and the effect is always the same. How is this? Well, first, what must happen before Almighty God shall save a sinner? Well, he must cross the path of these sinners. The scripture says, "As these two walked, the Lord joined himself to them." Now, when the Lord crosses the path of one that he's purposed to save, it will be with those things pertaining to himself. These two were talking about how he had been betrayed, things that had recently happened, how he had gone through a mock trial, how he was crucified between two thieves. But, do you know, knowing such facts is not enough to regenerate. Why? Because the Scripture says their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. That's verse 16 of that 24th chapter of Luke. They were covered, they were veiled by strength, that they should not recognize him. Man by nature cannot see the glory of God in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ must be revealed. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, the Scripture says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Why do some see at one time and others see at another time? Because God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And when it pleases him, he will reveal Christ to his people. Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16. The second thing that must happen is that he must, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, reveal a man's blindness. Here is divine kindness rebuking and revealing the ignorance of his elect. Look at the words found in Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Oh, what kindness! This must be so, for man is proud in his own knowledge. What was it that they were ignorant of? It certainly wasn't ignorance of the events of the last few days. It was their slowness of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken concerning his sufferings and his resurrection from the dead. That's found in the next verse, verse 26. It's the suffering of the strokes of divine justice and the wrath of his Father being forsaken by him because of the guilt of all God's elect, the sheep, the church, being placed upon Christ, imputed to him, charged to him. Those sufferings, that is that which he speaks. These things must be revealed that he enter into his glory, which was seen first by his ascension into heaven. This brings me to my third point. He must reveal the message of God's word. Look in verse 27 of that 24th chapter of Luke. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He began to reveal in the scriptures those pictures and types and shadows of his sufferings and glory. He began to show them how that brazen serpent, as Moses lifted it up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He showed them the ark, while under the judgment of God's wrath. That was a picture of Christ, and those within that ark were safe. They too were under the judgment of God, but they were protected in that ark, just as God's sheep are protected in Christ. He began to show them again that rock that followed the nation of Israel from which the water flowed, that rock that Moses struck. That rock was Christ, the manna which came down from heaven that the nation of Israel attributed to Moses. Christ said, "My Father gave you that bread." That bread was a picture of me, the bread of life. Well, while he expounded, they came near the village where they lived. Now here we find a very important part. Here we find something that must happen if these two and all like them shall have any hope. The Scripture says that he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, made as though he would have gone farther. He wasn't teasing them. Truly, he would have gone farther. But something within them caused them to constrain him to stay. Here the marvelous working of God's Spirit makes these two willing in the day of his power. They could not bear to part with him. His love constrained them, and they constrained him. This brings me now to my fourth point. Look at the 30th verse of our passage. The Scripture says, "It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Amazing point here. The Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, a stranger in their home, breaking bread. But as he broke that bread, here is a picture of him, the Master. He took that bread, blessed it. And when he blessed that bread and broke that bread, they saw him and they knew him by divine revelation to be the bread of God. That was a picture of his body broken for his elect. They saw Christ. I do not doubt that they had witnessed possibly the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, but they saw more in the breaking of this bread than man by nature can see. Their eyes were open. They knew him. Listen to the words of Scripture, John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. What is it to know him? Why, it's to know him as the Lord and Master, the Redeemer. It's to know him as the representative of his sheep. It's to know him as the surety of his sheep. It's to know him upon that cross, dying in the place of his people. It's to know him as putting away their guilt. It's to know him as their only hope of salvation. Not to make salvation possible. The Lord Jesus Christ did not make salvation possible. He secured salvation. He saves his people. They shall come to me. All that the Father gives me shall come, and I will save them. They will be my people. And he then vanished out of their sight. John 16:7 says, "It is expedient for you that I go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." This was for their comfort. Now that he has ascended, the Comforter, that is the Spirit of God, comes, indwells, teaches, guides, and comforts the people of God.